Good morning. Let's give God a little praise before we get started. Thank you. God is good. It's good to be here again. Always have a nice time and appreciate Brother Pastor Dave having enough faith in me that I won't come in here and tear up stuff. Because you got to be careful today because you don't never know the motives. If you don't know somebody, you don't know what their motives might be. But here, we're here just to give you a word that God has given me a mandate to let wherever I go to let people know he's soon to come. And if he's soon to come, that means we need to be ready. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. This is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you again for allowing us to be here, stand behind this holy desk. Even now and as before, we step back, O God, that you and your presence might be felt. Speak this word by your power and for your glory. Say what you want. Do it the way you want, O God, and we would ever yield to your spirit. Bless this word now, we pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture is 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Thought for the day for a few minutes is be ready. Be rapture ready, I should say. Because God, like I said in the opening, God is soon to come. And he's going to be looking for his people. He's coming back for his church. He's not coming back for everybody. Everybody won't see him. Everybody won't know that he came until after he's gone. So we have to make sure that we take the time to prepare ourselves for where we're going. You know how the old saying, if you're going to take a trip, you got to prepare, most people prepare for a trip they're going to take before they go. So we know that Jesus is soon to come and that we have to prepare ourselves for that. Now, rapture is simply a term that we use that means snatched out, caught up, that we're going to be here and in an instant we're going to be gone and be with the Lord. For the Lord is only coming back for his bride. And we know there's a whole lot of different things. When I first, as I said in the earlier service, when I first got into this, studying this, I was surprised how much information there was on the rapture, because I'm thinking a lot of people don't even know what the rapture is or even heard of a rapture. But there was so much information I couldn't even really contain it all. Because people from century number one has been arguing over the centuries about when the Lord Jesus come and what is going to be the sign of his coming. But we know one thing for sure, that he said, if I go away, I go away and I prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So if I go away, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to take you unto myself. So the thing is, the God and the rapture is sort of like a marriage, Jewish marriage thing where the bride, the groom will come and meet the bride and they'll be engaged. And then after a year or so, the guy go and prepare a place for his bride. So not like today, you know, when people get married and, well, where are you going to stay? I don't know. Maybe I just stay in my mother and father's basement or something. In those days, they took it serious. They went out and built most of the time on their own parents' homestead or their home and built a place so they could have a place of privacy. So a place where they can get to know each other. See, marriage was so important in those days that, you know, in the law they say once a person got married, they didn't do nothing for a year. They didn't go to war. They didn't work. They just stayed there together to please each other so they could get to know each other. I wonder how many marriages will last longer than a day if we really take the time to get to know each other. And just sit there, you know, probably during that year they clash heads and all that stuff, but they worked it out because they're getting to know each other. But the thing is, that's where Jesus, he went away. He's been built and prepared a mansion for us. So when he returned, he have a place for us. But the only one that knows when that's going to take place is the Father. Son, nobody else knows. So when they go away in the marriage, the bride go build his house, he can't go get his bride until his Father give him the okay. And that's the same way with Jesus. He's not coming back until God say, son, go get your bride. And the thing is, the bride during that year had to make preparations so she'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. You know how women can be. I'll be ready. And then 15 minutes later, they still getting ready. But when the bridegroom came for his bride, she had to be ready. I don't know if he would have left her, but she had to be ready. It wasn't no, give me 15 more minutes, give me 10 more minutes. No, it don't work that way. Same with when Jesus come. When he come, the Bible says he's coming back and he's going to snatch us out so fast, 111th times. Before you can blink your eyes, we'll be gone. So it won't be no time to get ready. It won't be no time to prepare yourself to be ready. It won't be no time to change anything and to make sure you're ready. So this is the time right now while the bridegroom is preparing our mansion. This is the time we as Christians and saints and as his bride is supposed to be getting ourselves ready. So when he come, won't be nothing to keep us from going with him. So in our world today, as before, people have three different main theories about the tribulation or the rapture. The pre-tribulation, the mid, and the post. Those who go with the pre say that God is going to send his son to take his bride out of the world before the great tribulation period. Those who say mid say, well, he's going to let his bride work and stay for the first 3.5 years of this 7-year period, and then he's going to come and take the bride out. Those say post, he say he's coming after the tribulation. And the church is going to go through all the things that the world is going through. Now, I have my own opinion on it, but I'm not here to argue about pre, mid, or post. My argument, my point is, if it's pre, mid, or post, be ready. Don't be getting ready. Be ready. So when Jesus cracked the sky and with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and when the trump of God sound, be ready. Because if you're not ready, regardless if it's pre, mid, or post, you're going to be left behind. Now, some people would say, well, if I get left behind, I just try to make my way through the tribulation. Well, like I told them earlier, you can do that all you want. I'm not. Because I don't want to go through all that that I have read that's going to happen. You think what we're going through now is bad. Wait till then. These plagues, just like I said earlier, who would ever thought that a virus would shut down this great nation? Business, church, recreation, people going crazy because they got all snuffed up in their own house and they got to deal with their own self. And a lot of people, the elevator wasn't going all the way up to the top, so they had to deal with medical issues and mental issues and this. And then slowly but surely we opened up, but we still got the virus. The virus is still here. And it's raging. Every time they get one under control, something, another variant comes. But the point is, God is giving us a preview of what the tribulation is going to be. So I'm telling you, folks, I don't want to be there. But I'm living Psalm 91. It said, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. I'm not scared of the virus because I'm in the protection and the care of God. And if he allowed me to go through this, to have it, he'll allow me to go through it because he's able to take us through. But so many people today, it just seems like they're more concerned about what's happening now. They're not concerned about when the Lord Jesus is coming. See, in the first century church, they had their problems, but for the most part, they all believed that God, Jesus, was coming back in their lifetime. And if you keep that view in mind that he's coming back any day and any time, it has to have an effect on the way you live. See, I can't do anything. I can't go everywhere. I don't want to go everywhere. I don't want to do everything. And I tell people, I don't argue with you. You do what you want, your choices. Like I used to tell my children coming up, say, yeah, you got a right to make a choice. But just remember, when choices come, consequences. You make the right choice, they could be good. You make the bad one, they could be bad. So that's the same way with us in the house of God. We need to stop being so divided and so indecisive, and we need to stand up for the truth. We need to be testifying that God is good. And isn't it funny? When things start opening up, businesses start opening up, restaurants picked up, theaters, sports. But it seemed like the church was the slowest entity to start coming back. In fact, a lot of people haven't came back yet. What they're waiting on? They going shopping. They going to work. They going to these sports events. They going to these concerts. They going to these parties. But where they at in church? That lets you know where our priorities, most people's priorities are. If we trust the system enough to go to these other places, then we should be able to trust God enough to come to his house. Because he told us, fail not to assemble ourselves one with the other. So, yeah, the virus stopped us. And it's slow because people got used to watching church on live stream, Facebook, and all these different things that is more convenient. Well, you know, I kind of enjoy having church in my pajamas. I don't have to get up and, you know, the man could be there having service. They could be praising God. I could be having my little cup of coffee and eating my breakfast, enjoying breakfast and church at the same time. But it's nothing like being in the house of God, being in the presence of other people with like spirits and our spirits to get together and we invoke the presence of God. It's nothing like feeling God moving in the house. working miracles. But so many people are preoccupied with the day, occupied with their living, and you should be. I'm not saying don't be like some of these crazy cults. Once they decide when Jesus is coming back, they just stop working, sell up everything, give up everything, and give it away, and sit around with their hands folded waiting on Jesus to come. No, that's not what he wants. He said, occupy till I come. So what he wants us to work until he comes. But we had to work with in mind that Jesus could come. Suppose he come right now. I wonder how many churches will still be more full than empty. Just because you sat in church don't mean you're going back with Jesus. Just because you raise your hand and say hallelujah don't mean you're going back with Jesus. Just because you play the instrument and you sound so beautiful and you got lovely voices, that don't mean you're going back with Jesus. That don't mean you're not, but it don't mean you are. See, because God, see what God is looking for before he comes, and he's delaying his coming for us. Because the Bible said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the glorious light. So he's delaying his coming for us. And you know, some people say, well, you know, pastor, preacher, teacher, who, whatever y'all, brother, y'all been preaching Jesus' return for 2,000 years. Yeah, we have. We might have to preach it another 2,000 years. I don't know. But I know one thing. A day in the sight of the Lord, 1,000 years in the sight of the Lord is only one day. So 2,000 years to God is only 2 days. And even not even that, because he don't operate in time. So God, what is God looking for from his bride? He's looking for his bride to have a personal relationship with him. We got too many people in church. Some people go to church because they love it. Some people go to church because they're lonely. Some people go to church because they don't have nothing else to do. Some people go to church because they like to praise music. Some even go to church because they like to see what the preacher going to say, how he going to act. Is he going to howl and scream, or he going to hum and mum, or moan and groan, or whatever. People have different reasons. But God is expecting us to have a personal relationship. See, like I told him this morning, when the people came to Jesus and say, Lord, you know, let us in. And he said, I don't even know you. Well, how can that be? How can the, well, we know the Lord technically knows everything and everybody. But he said, I don't know you. And they're going to say, well, we preached in your name. We taught in your name. We played instruments in your name. We sung in your name. We did good deeds in your name. We visited the sick in your name. We fed the hungry. We visited those that was in prison. But he's going to still say, I don't know you. You know why? Because they didn't have a personal relationship with God. The only way we're going to be raptured is we have personal relationship. We have to remember something. God is not a grandfather. Or grandmother, you know, when we get to be grandparents, we allow a whole lot of stuff to happen that we didn't when we was parents. Well, basically, because the basic responsibility of parenting is the kid, is the parents. Our job is to spoil. Our job is to give them whatever they want if we can. But God's not like that. He don't have grandchildren. What he expect from me, he expect from you. What he expect from the youngest, he expect the same from the oldest. It's all the same. He's expecting a relationship, a life well lived, a life that we use to serve God. Not to say, well, I belong to this organization, I belong to that organization, and that's all fine, because when God saved us, he saved us to work. But we're not saved by our works. We're only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're only through his blood. He said, for by grace through faith are you saved, but not of yourself, lest any man should boast. So nobody going to be able to get to heaven and say, well, Lord, I did this and I did that. I fed this one and I did that, all that. And God ain't paying no mind to that. Only thing he worrying about, did you love me? Did you serve me out of sincere and a pure heart? What you did, what was your attitude when you did what you did? A lot of people in church, they're good church people. Good church workers, because they're just blessed with a lot of organizational skills, a lot of talents and gifts. But the Bible said, gifts or without repentance. Because I got a gift to do something in ministry, even if I got a gift to preach, that don't mean I'm going to be saved. Paul said, I got to be careful why I preach to others. If I don't be careful, I'll be lost. No, I'm not going to take all this time studying and getting to God's word and standing before people, and I'm going to be lost. I'm going to have to be the first partaker. So the rapture, folks, is soon to take place. Personally, I think I always felt it's going to be in my lifetime. But like I told him this morning, I don't know if that's going to happen because I'm starting to get up there in age. I don't know much how long I can hold on for the rapture. But nevertheless, whether I'm raptured or whether I'm raptured personally, I'm going to be with the Lord. So if I die first, when he shout, I'll get up first. If I'm alive, I'll get up second. But one thing, we all going to meet him in the air. Amen? That's the goal. My goal is to be ready when God comes. I'm not so much worrying about pleasing everybody, because you can't please everybody. No two people are quite the same, not even twins or triplets or quadruplets. There's always something different. But God requires the same from us all. And that's a life that has a personal relationship with him, that has repented, and that's trying to live a godly life. He said, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandments? Greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So folks, I like to tell people, you don't love God no more than you love your worst enemy. We got to love them. Love is the key. Because none of us deserve God. I look back over my life, Lord, you've been so good to me. I know I don't deserve this. Now, I want to be able to say I deserve it, but I can't. I made too many mistakes. Sometimes I still make mistakes. Sometimes I still don't think right, do right, act right. Sometimes it's just so much easier just to chaw into people. Kick them when they're down. Don't that feel good when you get back? That vengeance stuff, boy. Oh, you see them out there drowning out in the water. Oh, look at that. God is finally paying my neighbor for what all that stuff he did for me. I'm going to let him go out. No, the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, get out there and save him. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to forgive. We represent Christ. How is the church representing Christ today? If we're having a lot of trouble recruiting people to God because of the life we live, I don't want that burden on me. I pray, Lord, please don't let me do anything that'll bring damage to your image. Because I love him too much. He's done too much for me. I'm not in it for him to do anything else. All I'm doing right now is just waiting for him to come. The older I get, the more I look. Lord, you coming in my lifetime? I've been looking for you. Amen. 'Cause Because it's going to be, this is not a downward message. This is a great message, because if you're ready and prepared, you know what's coming. But if you're not prepared, you better look out. I told a Jehovah's Witness one time, we was on our job, and he used to argue all the time. I said, look, let me tell you something. If you're right and I'm wrong, no problem. Because I'm happy. I'm serving God because I love him. I'm living this life not because I have to, because I want to. I said, but now if I'm right and you're wrong, you got a problem. So that's the way it is. God is not coming back for those in the church. Not coming for those that's doing good works. He's not coming from those who put on an outward show. He's coming for those that have a personal relationship with him. So my advice to you today is, if you're not ready, get ready. It's not hard. Just be sincere. Just give your life to Christ. If you give your life to him, he accepts you. Because you know what? He already know we can't be perfect. If we could be perfect, he wouldn't have to come and die for us. If we could make it happen on our own, he wouldn't have suffered. We can't. And God is not up there with a big stick or one of them rods that shock you when you do wrong, like they do some dogs and stuff like that. He's not up there doing that. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to do right. He wants us to love him. But he also wants us to love each other. See, that's when the problem comes in a lot of times. Because, you know, some people just get on your nerves. Sometimes you get on your own nerves. We always look at it. If people get on my nerves, that's okay. I can always leave and let you go ahead and do what you're doing. But when I get on my own nerves, where I go? Because everywhere I go, here I come. I get on my own nerves sometimes. But God is so faithful. He's not like us. He knows us. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. See, because God looks at the heart. It's a heart thing. They try to curb gun violence through natural laws and legislations. And I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen. Unless people's heart change, unless their way of thinking change, unless their love for God and their neighbor change, we're going to still have violence. And all we can do is, Lord, just protect. If you don't protect me, well, I'm ready. Just take me on home. How many people ready to go home? Amen. I'm ready. Some young people say, well, I'm too young. I ain't lived my life yet. I want to get married. I want to do this. I want a career. Nah. I know some of y'all great get married, but, hey, I'm ready to go home. Where the wicked shall cease from trouble, and the weary will be at rest. Can you imagine living in a time where there'd be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more corruption, no more lying politicians? Whoa. I won't get in no trouble. Who knows a politician that's not lying? Oh, okay. We're on the same page then. But what I'm just saying is, we won't have to deal with that no more. Because we will be loving each other. And God will be, Jesus will be in our presence. The Bible says there won't be no more night, no more neither the sun or the moon, because he's going to be our light. How many would not want to be in that? In my last time, because I know I'm taking too long, but I'm feeling it right now. See, when you do this the second time, you start feeling it a little more. But anyway, Adam and Eve had it perfectly good. They had no pain. They had no suffering. Work was joyous. Things was going all right. But they gave it all up. So, but guess what? God had a contingency plan in place. He said that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So if he was slain before Adam and Eve got here, God knew what was going to happen, right? It didn't catch him off guard, you know. You know how we do when some things happen and surprise. Oh, my, what am I going to do now? God didn't do that. He already had a plan. But his plan was for his son to come and die and pay the price for us. That's all we had to do, accept him. So I'll say, just come to Jesus. Just as you are. Some people say, well, I've been too bad. I've been too this and I've been too. No, you haven't. Even if you're the lowest down murderer, killed your family, like the Nazis, killed the Jews, if you repent, God's going to hear. Now, we'll have a little problem with it, right? No, wait a minute. You don't kill my family. But that's not the way God is. He looks at the heart. Amen. So let's hopefully we reflect on this a little bit. And while we're taking care of business here, looking out for each other here, let's always be mindful that God's Son is soon to come. And when he comes, he's coming back so fast that it won't be no chance to change. Believe me, you don't want to be here for the tribulation. Amen? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity, this time that we had together. Thank you for this word that you shared once again. Let it go out amongst the people. Let it fall upon good ground that from this day forth, those that have not been thinking about your return will now keep it in the back of their mind so they'll be prepared for when you come. And I say like John, even so, come, Lord Jesus.